Wow, I'm live already. This is fantastic. I didn't even think to check in. Welcome back. I am back. The greatest show of all time, greatest podcast of all time, the greatest podcaster of all time. We're here to cover a ton of stuff. Shout out to my 2 a.m. crew, the people that wake up. I'll define you and I'll address you guys shortly. Got a ton to cover. WWE, WrestleMania, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday, the Raw after Mania, the Knicks' amazing season, and this playoff run they're about to go on. We'll talk a little bit about women's basketball and where that's headed. We'll talk about the Yankees and Mets. We'll also talk about the NFL a little bit. But for now, let's start this off the right way. Episode 215, let's do it.
You feel that knock? I feel like Rocky in this one, baby. Let's go. Alright, check it. Blast from the past, back from the future. So if I pull the trigger in the past, you know you and your future. I'm still hustling, still hugging the block. The referee to the shit, I'm still calling them shots. I can't be stopped, that's what I told you. I'm living my life like a box of Crayolas. I'm cutting up white, smoking that green. Purple color pens, I'm still making this cream. I'm so sick, check my throat quick. My wrist light up a room like a handful of glow sticks. I'm like spoiled milk, the kid's gone bad. Then it's the menace while pen touches the pad. Niggas is mad, but the ladies is glad. Yo, they rubbing up against me like this nigga is rad. Fucking two divas, drinking on sangria.
Welcome to the Rick A Show. Welcome back. I know I took a really long break and I took all of March off. A lot going on professionally, personally, and in all the realms of my life. I'll fill you guys in on that in a little bit. Yes, we're doing live episodes, live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and X, what used to be called Twitter, when we used to do live episodes. I'm excited to do this again. A lot of the people that tune into the show, watch the show, they really like the interaction. However, I still will record my live in-person interviews at this space. Shout out to this space. Shout out to the studio. Shout out to Kaba, who produces the show. He does a tremendous job producing the show. I got nothing but love for that guy. Me and him have like a really special bond, and we really do make magic, and we really do have a great time once we're in there recording and creating the pod. So, yes, to answer those questions, yes, you're going to get live stream episodes of the Rick Cage Show. Yes, you're going to get recorded episodes. What's up, Andy? Thank you for tuning in. Yes, you're going to get recorded interviews. I got a ton of guests that are booked. I got some UFC fighters. I got some former NFL players. I'm just going to say that. I do have some comedians coming up on the show. So I really can't wait. It's going to be like a hybrid. We're going to do this virtually and in person. So it's like a new age thing. But let me just fill you guys in what's been going on between episode 214 and 215. A lot has happened. We have signed, I think, 4 or 5 more podcasts to the network, which is exciting. Shout out to this podcast network, which is our new home right now. And it's just been an amazing ride so far. So yeah, we've signed some pods. We've been doing other, I can't really say too much, but there's a couple of things that are happening that are super excited. Ken launched his show, Ken Stars. He has his show, Have a Good Night. I think it launched this Monday, if I'm wrong, or no, not last week. I'm sorry. Last Thursday, I think it was. Episode one is up. It's on Ken's page. Go watch it. Fantastic. Super funny. Ken Stars, one of my favorite guys to work with. I'm your host, Rick Hero, or Rick H., the greatest podcaster of all time, the voice of the 2 a.m. crew. I'll explain what the 2 a.m. crew is. And I'm also a three-time award-winning podcaster. And as of today, I was officially nominated for a fifth year in a row for the 2024 Land Podcast Awards, which I'm super excited about. That organization, the Academy, they've been nothing but a blessing to be a part of. And every year just gets bigger and bigger. And I'm looking forward to this year's show, which is October 12th at the end of the year. So I just wanted to do some live episodes. I wanted to interact with the listeners. I wanted to fill you in on things that are going on, you know, and I want it to be like quick responses, you know, like if something happens in sports, you know, I don't want to, you know, do a story on Instagram or something like that. I want to have a conversation with people who are watching the show. So engagement was a big thing. It was a big decision. I had to do a couple things to set this up. So I kind of have like two setups. I have the studio setup, and now I have a setup here in my home, which I'm excited about. Let's just talk about the 2 a.m. crew first and foremost. So the 2 a.m. crew, right? I wake up extremely early, and usually I'm in a couple of group chats, right? And forgive me because I'm producing the show as well as, you know, hosting right now. Crew, I wake up really early to go to work. So I do have a 9-to-5, which is really like a, you know, 9-to-9 job. I'm on call 24 hours a day for my job. And I live in Long Island, so I work in the city. So I really wake up extremely early. And originally it was a gag. It was, you know, a ruse. It was a joke. Usually every time a new year comes, everybody's like, new year, new me. I'm losing weight. I'm in the gym. I'm in shape. So I did a couple videos extending or fibbing on the truth of what I was doing. You know, I was waking up early. Yes, I was. But in some of the videos, I make references to, you know, building a pool in my backyard, running 10 miles in the morning and clocking into 16 different jobs, although I do have multiple jobs. So it was just making fun of those influencers, those fit influencers that try to inspire you to be great. Part of the reason I want to go after that and make fun of it and attack it is because, and this is not going to be funny, it's just how I feel. I feel like social media has ruined individuality, has ruined talent, like who actually has talent. A lot of people try to emulate or do what they see on Instagram. There's a funny joke the other day that I reposted about everybody's got a podcast now, and I get up from here and then there's like 15 people asking me to be on the show. That's all great. And if you want to do a pod, if you want to be an influencer, you want to be a comedian, and that's your true passion, believe me, go after it. Do what you want to do. If that's what you really want to do, go after it. But you need to really evaluate and assess yourself. Like, people live their lives comparing themselves to Instagram, What's this person doing? Or what's that person doing? Don Dinero posted a video the other day, which was, I found it very interesting. He said, people post their wins, not their losses on Instagram. So don't get caught in a rat race comparing yourself to someone else. Just be yourself, run your own race, stay in your own lane, which is true. Wow. I haven't done this so long. I'm talking so fast. So to the point being is I started making fun of those people. You know, I started making fun of, oh, Eve is here. Shout out to Eve, loyal listener. She's been wanting me to do this for a while, and a couple of people have hit me up. They want to interact. So shout out. I'm glad you're here. She's part of the 2AM crew. Oh, we learn and grow from our losses. Thank you, Anthony. And shout out to my cousin, Anthony. You'll see him on the podcast one of these days. People only put up their wins. Like, oh, you know, I signed this big contract. Or look at my fancy car. Look at my fancy house. Everything is now fluff, substance. There's nothing real. There's nothing real. That's why I've never disclosed, hey, I work this job, I do this. I do have an actual 9-to-5. I'm a married man, and I have 2 children, and I own a home with my wife. That's real. That's fact. I also do this, and I podcast on the side. That's real. That's me being real, telling you who I am. I've always loved sports. I've always loved comedy. Was I a great comedian? I'm not too sure. But I ventured off into that realm. I ventured off into podcasting. And this show is a mash of things that I love and myself with people that I think are interesting that I invite to take place. So this is what this space is created for, this show. Pardon the pun because our studio is this space. But I digress. I grew up an avid wrestling fan. If you have not been watching wrestling, quick synopsis. So The Rock came back to wrestling. Vince McMahon is completely out of wrestling. He's got some things he's got to deal with and take care of. I don't want to get into the negativity. So TKO purchased, I mentioned in a previous episode, they purchased the UFC and the WWE, and it's merged. The Rock now sits, Dwayne Johnson, he now sits on the board. So he is the boss. He's technically Dana White's boss, and he's technically Triple H's boss. So The Rock came back, and they brought The Rock back to face Roman Reigns, undefeated champion for 3 years, who's related to The Rock, is The Rock's cousin. He comes from the bloodline. And while that's going on, the famous Royal Rumble, which is one of the, I always, when I go back into wrestling, it's kind of like December, because I know the Rumble's coming about, like Survivor Series. So this is what you can expect from the WWE. Survivor Series, which is November, usually someone returns or something big premieres or happens in Survivor Series. And then the storyline for WrestleMania starts building bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger from there. The Rumble's a really main piece. So last year, Cody Rhodes, you don't know who Cody Rhodes is. He's probably one of the biggest stars in wrestling today. He was in the WWE, left the WWE, made himself a star because the WWE didn't see him as a star at the time. And then when he was a free agent, he came back. So Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble for a second time. He won it last year. Faced Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, loss. Reigns has been champion for 3 years. This year, Cody wins the Rumble. And since The Rock is returning, he hints at fighting Roman, which is something fans have dreamed of. You know, Roman Reigns versus The Rock. Oh, my God, it's going to be insane. Something weird happens. And I guess is the fans, they really understood the power that they possess. So The Rock, they kind of do like a switcheroo where The Rock is actually going to face Roman. And Cody comes out. He's like, yeah, I want to fight you, but not right now. When that happened, there was like a shift. Like the fans were like, this ain't right. It happened similar to a similar situation happened to Daniel Bryan. This ain't right. Cody should be, you know, going to WrestleMania. He won the Rumble. There's this whole storyline about how he didn't finish his story. If you don't know, Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes' son. He never held the WWE Championship, Dusty Rhodes. He won it once, held it up, and immediately after that piece, they took the belt back and they, you know, they kind of pretended like he never won it. Kind of like Jack Bonanno when he beat Ric Flair in DR for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. I digress. So us as fans, we're getting the championship that we want, but we kind of don't want it. So the next night on Raw, The Rock's trying to cut a promo, and everybody starts booing The Rock because they feel Cody should be the one at the main, in the main event. WWE decides, let's have a press conference in Las Vegas, similar style to the UFC. By the way, you're going to see this a lot more often. Things that you see in the UFC, you'll see them in the WWE. So if the UFC is doing a pay-per-view, like they're doing this upcoming weekend, UFC 300, they will hold a press conference on Wednesday. Press conference on Wednesday for future events. Thursday is another press conference for the actual pay-per-view. Friday is the weigh-ins. That's where the fighters actually weigh in and try to make weight. And Saturday is the actual pay-per-view. So you'll see similar promotional style to UFC. In the WWE. Like the WWE the last year, they've been doing post-fight press conferences and stuff like that. So just to something to put out there for you. The Rock and Triple H is now in charge of creative for the entire WWE, decide, hey, let's do something different. We have to give the fans what they want. The fans want to see Cody in the main event. So let me speed this up. They have the whole press conference. The Rock turns heel at the press conference. If you don't know what heel means, that's the bad guy. There's a good guy and a bad guy in wrestling. And there's an anti-hero. But those, it's very hard to pull off. CM Punk is an anti-hero. Rock turns heel. He becomes, you know, the final boss. And it just skyrockets. The WWE sold out the 17 shows prior to WrestleMania, which is insane. The storyline was great. Watch the build to it. Like, watch clips if you're not into it. There's this thing where everybody's saying wrestling is cool again. I just think the storytelling is better. It's long form. People love stories like Instagram and all these social media things. Again, it goes to my point that they've ruined the, you know, entertainment, so to speak, because even the movies and television and film, they just keep regurgitating the same crap over and over and over again. And once somebody does something and they have success in it, 1,000 people come behind that person and they follow in that person's footsteps. Nothing wrong. If that's what you want to do, that's your thing. Okay, cool. I just think creativity from a creative standpoint, Triple H always knew exactly like what fans wanted to see, what makes it entertaining, what captivates an audience. And long form storytelling has always been something. You see it in novelas, you know, growing up as a kid. You know, your aunts and your parents and abuelas, they watch novelas because it's like an episode where you know, something super interesting happens, and then, damn, I got to wait till next week. That's how it was for me growing up. Like, it's not these streaming services where you could binge watch that. You couldn't do that back in the days. So long form storytelling is something that will always captivate the audience. Being authentic, being real, being yourself, and telling stories, engaging and interesting stories. And then they went back to that. The WWE, for a while, they were doing away with it. It was just like every week it was something different. But slow build stories. Like, you know, growing up, I used to watch Rock and Austin, Triple H and Austin. Like, it was the golden era of wrestling for me because of the story that they were telling. And, you know, it has a deeper meaning than what you think it does. I know people look at it and they're like, hey, you know, this stuff is scripted. But yeah, that's the point. These guys actually, they get hurt doing some of these moves. Yes, the outcome is predetermined, but it is interesting. It is fun to watch. It is entertainment. It is pro wrestling. Sports is everything all in one. So, night one was fantastic. You had the tag match with The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth Rollins. And it was a good match with a great stipulation. And that led to night two. I don't want to spoil it because I think everybody should watch it. And you will not walk away. You'll actually walk away thinking, like, people who don't even watch wrestling watched it this weekend and were like, oh my God, this is interesting. Like, it's amazing at this point. It's back. Like, it's really back. So long form storytelling. Night two was insane. I mean, everybody knows Cody won, so that's not a spoiler, but you should watch the whole show. From the beginning to the end, it was fantastic. I don't have not one. Well, I do have one match that I really didn't find that entertaining. And I think they didn't build it enough. You know, it was put together pretty quickly, which was the Jey Uso versus Jimmy match. And they just kicked each other. You know, it wasn't entertaining like that. So then last night I watched Raw. Raw after Mania is the greatest WWF Raw you'll ever see. Raw after Mania is like the one you need to watch. That's where the new story starts. I was not, you know, I give that a C. I wasn't too entertained by that one. The transitions were a little off. The story with Core and Cody hasn't even started, the new one. The Rock was there. There was a weird, like, dialogue between him and Cody. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on Friday. And if you guys want, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel right now. You can also leave a comment. You can also drop a question, any of that. I will be seeing it. We are live right now. So if you want to. So, yeah, wrestling's back. For you avid wrestling fans or people who just, you know, want to watch something that's entertaining and it's fun, just tune in on a Monday. And catch the vibe, man, because it is it right now. Anyways, so that was my Mania thing. How about those New York Knicks? I wish I had Stephen A. Smith on this show. I really wish. I gotta admit something, right? And Juan Bago, he knows this because me and him had a chat about it. When the OG and Anobi trade happened, now I call it the OG trade. I don't even call it the Barrett Quickly trade anymore. When OG was traded to the Knicks, I was not a fan of that trade because I
was a huge, huge RJ Barrett guy and a huge Quickley fan. But man, was I wrong. And is it wrong for us Knicks fans to still be salivating and dreaming of that January where we went 14-2? And what could it be? You know, I didn't want to gloat or, you know, go too crazy because it's the Knicks. You know, I'm a Knicks fan, a Mets fan, a Giants fan, although they've won two Super Bowls, and a Rangers fan. Rangers haven't won since 94. So I know what disappointment looks like. I mean, look at this face. This is what disappointment is. So I didn't, after that January run, I was excited, but I was trying to temper my expectations. And then the news comes out that Randle's out for the rest of the season. And I kind of been like, well, it was a good year, you know. It was a good expectation, you know. It's kind of like when you see a movie and the previews are amazing, and then you go to the theater to watch the full-length film and it's not as good as the trailer. That's kind of how I feel about our playoff run at this moment, although I could be wrong. And let me talk about my point guard for a second, Jalen Brunson. The fact that you guys keep disrespecting my boy, Jalen Brunson, is crazy to me. Crazy to me. Give me a 5-minute quick Rick wrestling story match with two WWE wrestlers. All right, I got you in a second. Rangers are the best team in New York at the moment. Yeah, the Yanks started. Nobody's talking about Yankees, Anthony. Ain't nobody brought up the Yankees in here, okay? Yeah, the Rangers. The thing with the Rangers, man, that's another thing, man. It's like you're getting an amazing massage, but then at the end, you know, they move one of your discs or destroy a vertebrae. That's how the Rangers feel to me. They always tease me, man. Eastern Conference Finals. Playoff, deep run, and then nothing. That's what the Rangers have been to me, right? I'm not even going to talk about the Yankees. So I know you Yankee fans are excited about your 9-2 record. I know you guys are excited about Juan Soto, as you should be. But it's April. Let's calm down. You're 9-2 without Cole. That's impressive, right? Just keep winning, because in April, if you establish a nice early cushion, you could just continue to build on that. And you beat Houston. I'll give you that. But let's calm down, okay? Calm down. And let's talk about my Knicks real quick. So I saw J.J. Redick talking about Brunson not being All-NBA team. Let this man be in the MVP conversation, please. What more does he have to do? Let this man be all NBA. He is the guy. He is our guy. I don't want to hear anything about he's always the second best player on the floor or no. Everybody on the Knicks is available to me. Everybody except for Brunson. Untouchable. Okay? So stop disrespecting Jalen Brunson. We're probably going to win the first series and we'll see what happens after that. What kind of story do you want, by the way, with these wrestlers? A story. I just gave you the best story. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns undefeated 3 years, destroying everybody, wouldn't lose, had this dominant faction, this dominant family. Cody Rhodes comes from a wrestling family, never won the big title. He tried last year. He didn't win at WrestleMania. He was disappointed. He picked himself up, went on a run, fought Brock Lesnar for a while, had a rivalry, got Brock Lesnar's respect, then turned his eyes to Roman Reigns, won the Royal Rumble, went to WrestleMania, finished his story. Watch it, Eve. You'll like it. So, man, I needed water for this. I really did. So, Anthony brought up the Yankees. Let's talk about them because what can I do, you know? Anthony Volpe has been sensational. And I think that that's the biggest difference this year. And Stan, you're getting what you get from Stan. Hopefully he stays healthy. The pitching has been very surprising this year without Cole. Did I think they needed to do more? Yes. What's this? Hold on a second. You think Gabby Tufts, the first transgender 33 star? What do you think of Gabby Tufts, the first transgender WWE star? Oh, I didn't even know about that story. Thank you for I'll look it up on I'll form an opinion. She says she's an American TikToker. WWE star Gabby Tufts lost all with live. Whoa, I really need to thank you for bringing this up, by the way. I really need to look into this. I'll read up on it. I didn't even know there was a transgender Rick Juan. Your own story. My own storyline. If I was a wrestler, I cut promos for a living here on this mic, so I'd be a phenomenal wrestler. I'd be talking smack all the time. I would always be cheating. I would always be part of a faction and have a crew. That way, if I'm losing a match, they'll come in and interrupt. I can't be like, you know, I will never be a face because I think the heel, the bad guy is always the best one. And the bad guy always happens to have the belt for the longest. Think about that. What would my wrestler name would be? That's easy because me and Gene are a tag team, my cousin Gene. My wrestler name would be, I'm stealing this from Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho, don't sue me. I love you. Lionheart Rick Hero. What do you guys think? Lionheart Rick Hero, a wrestler? Tell me that's not a hit. What would Andy, what would be your wrestling name? Anthony, what would be your wrestling name? Eve, what would be your wrestling name? Pretty Ricky. Pretty Ricky was my AOL Instagram name growing up. It was Pretty Ricky 174. I think I've said that several times on the show. Not proud of it, but that was the AOL screen name I chose for myself. I think it was part of a episode of Martin, and the guys on my block would say that because I went to a Catholic school and I always had a shirt and tie and a sweater. So nah, she was a wrestler before. So is she a wrestler now? Like, I'm confused now. I thought she was a TikToker. Okay. Gabby Alon Tuff is an American TikToker and retired pro wrestler. Tuff, known for her time with the WWE under the ring name Tyler Rex. Okay, I wouldn't have known Tyler Rex. This is probably in the developmental portion of WWE. Oh, Rex was Kurt Hawkins' tag team partner. This is an interesting story, actually. And Tuff actually married Priscilla Tuff in 2002. She was born. Wow. This is a really... Where'd you get this story? Where'd you... Man, I should share this with you guys. Huge dude. The Rodster, a.k.a. me. The Rodster. The roster, Andy Rodriguez. El Chupacaba. That's a really good... Damn, man. That's why I love you, man. Your creativity. That's a really good name. That's a really good name. Eva, are you saying your wrestling name is Huge Dude? Because that's kind of a huge dude. El Chupacabra. I like that. I like that. I'm very, that's interesting. I like that. Yeah, so the Yankees are 9-2. Anthony could breathe and relax. Yes, his team is doing good. On the other side of town, not so good. If they've played better as of late. But if you're a Mets fan and a Giants fan, get ready for three miserable seasons. Three. Well, they might spend some money in 2025, the Mets. The Giants are going to be horrendous. We let Saquon Barkley go. And then our owner is out there talking about, oh, I'm so sick that Saquon left for the Eagles. I hate it when owners feel like, they don't got money to pay these guys. They don't got, they're the ones that actually make these decisions. They're the ones that have to, like, if you don't want him to go anywhere, then you should have just paid him. Oh, seems like the Yankees won today, so they're 10-2. Congratulations, Yankees. Congratulations, Yankees. Let me see where the Mets stand real quick. Yankees are 10-2, first place in the East. Behind them is the Boston Red Sox. They're 7-4. But this is it's April, dude. Like the Guardians are 8-2. The Tigers are 7-4. And the Tigers suck. Houston is 4-7. So it's like, it's a weird, weird year in baseball. The Braves are 6-3. You know, that's pretty decent. The Mets are 4-6. I'll take that for now. The Pirates are 9-3. The Dodgers are 9-4. Fully expected that. The Brewers are 6-3. Man, the NL Central is pretty good. Brewers sitting at 6-3. Reds at 6-4. Cubs at 6-4. And the Cardinals at 5-6. The Central is going to be a tough division there. Arizona's 4-7. And the San Francisco Giants, who spend a ton of money on free agents and rebuilding that team, are 4-7. Interesting. Interesting. Interesting season in baseball so far. Oh, it's a ton of stuff. I follow her on. Good luck, Saquon, without Kelsey. Yeah, I mean, I still want to see it, man. I think he's going to get some great yardage in Philly. I really do. Andy, I know you're excited that Vince Carter got the call to the Hall of Fame. I know you're a big Vince Carter guy. He's finally going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, but Saquon, I think, is going to have 1,000 rushing yards. I'll say 6 to 8 touchdowns this year. And the tush push is going to be amazing with him and with that quarterback that's terrible. He plays for the Eagles. Yeah, that guy. Oh, okay. I correct myself. Huge Dude would not be Eve's name. That's her name would be Huge Eve. You remember? Hell yeah. Yeah, I remember, dude. Like, I remember that summer that we hung out and we played a lot of basketball. A lot of basketball. I remember that you were a huge VC guy. Hurts gonna vulture him so bad. Jalen Hurts, terrible. What happened to quarterback play in the NFL? Really, like, Hurts sucks. Never going to win a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott, never going to win a Super Bowl. Josh Allen, never will win a Super Bowl. Daniel Jones, never will win a Super Bowl. To me, maybe Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow, I think, will win one. And I think Mahomes will win a couple more. But other than that, they're all terrible. CJ Stroud, by the way, I like him. I think he's got a bright future, CJ Stroud. Justin Herbert, I don't see what the big deal is with him. I think he's terrible. Josh Allen will never win a Super Bowl. I think the NFL is going down the toilet, to be honest with you. Well, that could just be my Giants fandomhood spreading throughout the other teams. But I think they're awful. Tom Brady was right about one thing in his life. The NFL is mediocre. That's what it is right now. There's like six stars, and then everybody's a bum. I hope for Anthony's sake, the Jets have a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Although, picking up Tyrod Taylor was a beautiful, beautiful move by the New York Jets. Let's talk about the aforementioned New York Jets pickup. Tyron Smith, very good pickup. Mike Williams, very good pickup. Kinlaw, very good pickup. Tyrod Taylor, like I mentioned, fantastic pickup. Can run the offense, is a serviceable backup. They picked up some guards, some tackles. Very impressed with the Jets offseason. Giants offseason, not so bueno. We did make the trade for Brian Burns. That's great. We have a good defense. I wouldn't even say good. We have a good, pass rush now. We got Drew Lock, big deal. We got Devin Singletary, big deal. And then we picked up a tight end, some guards. We got made the defense better. Isaiah McKenzie. We didn't do anything. We're going to troll out the same team without Saquon. I do not look forward to football season this year. Jesus Christ, I do not look forward to it. Oh, boy. My boys from 237, they tuning in. Brooklyn's in the house. I saw they did a podcast recently talking about sports, and I wasn't invited. So I'm highly offended by that. Highly offended. They don't want me on that show on 237. I will destroy them in sports. These guys are from Brooklyn, and they're Yankee fans. Who does that? Like, if you're a Brooklyn guy, a real Brooklyn guy, you're a Brooklyn Dodgers fan that converted into a Mets fan. Ro, what's up, brother? Happy you tuning in. So, seriously, like, I think I'm more Brooklyn than you guys, and I'm from Washington Heights. I challenge, live on this episode, 237, No Place Like Home, which is a podcast that's on this podcast network. They're amazing. I'll put a link on the description of this episode if you guys want to watch them. I challenge them. Just stick with the Cyclones. They don't even like the Cyclones. They Yankee fans. They Yankee fans wearing Yankee blue hats. I guess because of Jay-Z. Is it a Jay-Z thing, Ro? Ro, are you still there, Ro? Is that why you a Yankee fan? Because Jay-Z, I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. Is that it? Can you answer that for me, Ro? Can you speak for the entire cast of 237? Because when you guys told me that in the video chat the other day, I was like, nah, can't be from Brooklyn and be Yankee fans. There's no way. There's no way. You know, I get it. I'm from Washington Heights. I'm a Mets fan. That's kind of weird. I'm either a Boston Red Sox fan because Boston, when I was growing up, had every single Dominican on the team. Or you're either a Yankee fan, which is right across the bridge. But Dominicans don't really like the Yankees no more. They never had like a really good relationship with the Yankees. The Yankees are trying to change that. They traded for Juan Soto. I see what you're doing, Yankees. I see what you're doing. You're trying to infiltrate the culture. You guys let Robbie go. You knew that was a mistake. You signed a bunch of bums with his money. You were suffering for so long. Now you got Soto. I think, Anthony, that's what happened. That was the curse. The curse of Robinson Cano. They took Robbie's money. They signed all these. Didn't they sign Ellsbury with that money? And then they gave, oh my God, don't even get me started on Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is the worst Yankee of all time. Of all time. If you're a Brett Gardner fan, please send me a DM. I want to have you on the show. I want you to explain to me what Brett Gardner does good. Please come on the pod. Please tell me. And why would you sign Brett Gardner and Ellsbury the same offseason and they do the exact same thing? Except Ellsbury had a little bit more pop at the time. Explain that to me. You guys got me on my favorite subject, bashing the Yankees. I'm ready for this. Ready for this podcast. Jacoby Ellsbury. Let's just go through the awful moves. Ryan Cashman should have been fired 6 years ago. They should have never fired Joe Girardi. I'm sure there's a site. I have to look this up because this will make me feel better. Ryan Cashman, the most overrated GM of all time. Let me see. Ooh. Cashman's lost years. A look back at a decade of uncertainty in the Bronx. Wow. I don't want to see a video. Here we go. 2014. He signed Tanaka for a 7-year, $155 million. This was the year Robbie was a free agent, by the way. Ellsbury, 7 years, $153 million. Jesus Christ. That's just... Brian McCann, 5 years, $85 million. Carlos Beltran, 3 years, $45 million. So out of all those guys, you probably got the most out of Tanaka. Maybe. Ellsbury barely played. McCann was a bust. And Beltran, he was a serviceable. You know, $45 million, 3 years, not that bad. Not that bad. Then he traded for, what was that third baseman I can't stand that he just retired? He hustled. So what? He hustled. How did that man, how many stolen bases that man got? With a terrible on-base percentage. The worst Yankee player I've ever – I know you guys probably got a worse guy, but Brett Gardner, to me, is the absolute worst. He don't even show up when I write Brett Gardner. He just showed up now. He's 40 years old now. Let's see. Let's look up some Brett Gardner stats. Career stolen bases. 274, 139 home runs. Wow. There's some real power there. A career 256 hitter. Bro. A career 256 hitter, and you guys are paying him $13 million a year. $13 million a year. His on base is not that terrible. He got 1,400 hits. How many freaking years did this guy play? 14 years. That's it? He led the league in triples in 2013. That was it. There goes your hustle right there. He did bat 323. In 2012, but he only played 16 games. So that explains that average. His best year by far was 2013. He batted 273, 10 triples, 33 doubles, 8 home runs. Woo, 24 stolen bases. He stole 49 in 1 year. That was the most he ever did. Defend that man. I dare you guys to defend that man. Ruben Rivera? No. Brett Gardner, all-time worst Yankee ever in the history of Yankees. Ever. What's the best, I guess, sports movie that can come close to reality? I mean, there's some sports movies that were, you know, like Miracle is a real thing that happened. You know, The Sandlot is something that people have gone through in their lives. You know, they play. Anthony and I, we used to play pickup games as kids. I really would like to see a Rookie of the Year type of situation where it's like 13-year-old kid throwing like 100 miles per hour. That would be interesting. That would be cool. Or like a kid manager in Little Big League. Moneyball. Moneyball was a real thing. Moneyball is a real thing, and that ruined baseball because every baseball team wants to run on analytics instead of, you know, actual scouts and talent, but okay. Since Anthony mentioned him, let me look up Ruben Rivera. If Ruben Rivera got more hits than Brett Gardner, that just proves my point. Okay, Ruben paid 9 years, Gardner paid 14. Ruben had 64 home runs in 9 years. Brett Gardner. I should do the comparison. Brett hit 139. So Ruben was very close to him. I want to compare them. Usually sites let you do that. All right, I'll just do Ruben separately. Wasn't Ruben Rivera related to Mo? Here we go. 64 home runs in 9 years, 203 ribbies. Man, he was crushing it, though. A batting average of 216. Wow. He did hit 284 for the Yankees in 1996, but he only played 46 games. Wow. Yeah, but the thing is this. The difference between Ruben Rivera and Brett Gardner is Ruben Rivera made $2 million, $2.7 million in his entire career as a professional baseball player. Brett Gardner made a ridiculous, insane amount of money. He made $82 million. Who's worse, Anthony? He stole Jeter's equipment to sell. That's a great story. We should do a movie on Ruben Rivera. That'll be a good film. People will watch it. Ruben Rivera. Yeah, Brett Gardner to me. Let me look while I'm at it. Let me look up Jacoby Ellsbury. Look at that. Ellsbury played 11 years. He hit 104 home runs. And Ellsbury made $105 million in his entire career. That's insane. The Yankees gave this man 4 years and $84 million. Gave it away. He retired a Yankee. And you think they're going to retire Ellsbury's number at Yankee Stadium? Number 22? Yo, that's going to be my new thing. When I see people wearing a 22 jersey, I'm going to be like, yo, that Ellsbury jersey's fire. We can't retire Jacoby Ellsbury's jersey? Come on now. Jacoby Ellsbury, That's crazy. I can't even believe that you brought that up. They might retire his jock. Woo! All right, before I wrap up here, I'll be doing this more often. On days I don't record a in-person interview, I will have guests on these live streams, by the way. I'll be doing this on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8 o'clock, 8:30, depending on my children go to sleep, because I am a dad. And it's fun. It's fun to interact with. It's fun to engage. So I'll be here Tuesdays and Thursdays, same time, same YouTube channel. Remember to follow, subscribe, like, share. Everything, the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter, the whatever, the TikTok-y, the, you know, backwards, the Facebook-y, the, oh, before I go, and I got something to show you. It's going to make you laugh. And I wish that I knew. Let me see something. See if I can find it. I have to find it first, and I'll share the screen with you guys. What was his full name? Because that's what we did. We paid homage to the legend. I don't know if you remember this, but I'm gonna throw it back for you. Did I get it? Is this it? Is this it? It's loading. Oh. Yo. So, would you ever create a, what is this? Let me read this last comment real quick. Would you ever create a team and go against the other people? Friendly baseball game in the park. Yeah, we did that all the time. You know what? I might do a celebrity softball game this well, I'm gonna say the word celebrity, but you know what I mean, like my friends the comedians, we'll probably do like a softball charity game. That'd be fun. That'd be pretty fun. Before I go, let me see. How do I share on this application? Is it this? Oh, I think I found it. Share. I'm going to share my screen with you all. Bear with me. Anthony, do you remember this right here? 424 friends, the legend himself. Lima time. These were some fantastic times. I didn't know this was done in 2007, by the way. Oh, he's friends with Emmanuel. Yep. This is pretty good. This is some good stuff. Brought a little throwback for Anthony there. These are just magical. Me and my sexy pig. Jose, we miss you in KC. Can you come and visit? Christy and I will take you on boats. Whoa. Oh, this is probably some of the best trolling stuff ever done. Mambo Lima, te extraño. Ain't the best answer. Oh, man. So, Ed, do you remember that? Oh, man. People were actually hitting this man up. Some guy said, I arranged this, and it sounds good. Wow. So if you haven't already, go follow Jose Lima on Facebook. It's fantastic. Lima time. So we just hit the hour mark. Thank you for joining us on the first time we go live in 2024. Again, I'm going to do this very often. Shout out to that 2 a.m. crew. Keep working out there. Keep grinding. Keep waking up early. Keep hustling. Keep pushing. Keep wanting to be better. Always try to seize the day, not the month. Take it a step at a time. And if you're working two jobs, get a third one is not enough. Just grind. And when you look up, you'll be like, oh my God, look at all the stuff that I've accomplished. I love you too, Hank. So tune in this Thursday. 2 days from now, we'll do this again. We'll have some fun. I'll have some vignettes and skits that I've pre-recorded and prepped. We'll have a guest on. It's going to be so much fun. Can't wait to see you guys. See you soon.
You feel that knock? I feel like Rocky in this one, baby. Let's go. Alright, check it. Blast from the past, back from the future. So if I pull the trigger in the past, you know you and your future. I'm still hustling, still hugging the block. The referee to the shit, I'm still calling them shots. I can't be stopped, that's what I told you. I'm living my life like a box of Crayolas. I'm cutting up white, smoking that green. Purple color pens, I'm still making this cream. I'm so sick, check my throat quick. My wrist light up a room like a handful of glow stick. I'm like spoiled milk, the kids gone bad. Then it's the menace when my pen touches the pad. Niggas is mad, but the ladies is glad. Yo, they rubbing up against me like this nigga is rad.